tonight.
Mm-hmm. Okay, tonight I want to talk to you about child raising. How many here have their children? How many here have children?
I've had some since I was a kid.
Okay. Most children start out at an early age. This is the first thing to remember.
Children.
Most children start out at an early age.
Yeah, most children do.
Okay. You guys are sleeping. Okay, your assignment for next week, besides that verse, is to memorize the Ten Commandments. How many know them already?
There are 11. 12. 10.
Okay, I want you to memorize 10 of them. Memorize the Ten Commandments. Yeah, in order. In order. I want you to memorize them in order. You got, how many fingers have you got?
10.
Okay. Count your fingers. I want you to memorize a commandment for each one. Okay.
Yeah, we just have to memorize the verses that we
do. Yeah. Do you know where to find the Ten Commandments?
In the Bible.
Right. Right. It's good. Where? Old Testament or New Testament?
Old.
Good. Very good. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, or Numbers?
Yeah.
Deuteronomy. That's correct.
Where is Deuteronomy?
It's in two places.
Deuteronomy.
It's Deuteronomy 5 or Exodus 20.
Or it's in the concordance in the back.
That's right. Okay.
Look up Ten Commandments in the back of the
book. Okay.
Hey, dude.
Okay. Let's see. Do you want to get John that chair over there? Okay. I want you to... Let's see. Maybe we just... I'll just give it to you. Okay. I want you to take out your pencil and paper. I want you to write this down. Child raising. Write this down. Child raising. Everyone take out a pencil and paper. Write down child raising.
Rearing.
Child rearing.
Raising.
Okay. All right. Question. What does the Bible say about child raising? Don't write this down. Don't write this down. Just write down the answer. Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22:6. Let's look that up. Proverbs 22:6. Write that down. Number one, Proverbs 22:6. This is what the Bible says. Who has it? Shh. Just find it. Okay. All right. Karen, you want to read it?
Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it.
What is that now?
Raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it.
22.
Okay. What does it mean, Matt?
It means when you train them young, like the way they should go when they grow up, and they get rid of you, you know, they'll do that for the rest of their lives.
Why then do some children start out good and end up bad?
Because
the
parents
don't teach them. Because the parents
don't keep them long enough. They don't grow up too fast.
Why have your children all turned out good?
Because we're Christians.
Is that why?
No.
Because we know the only God.
Huh?
Because our parents raised us
right.
Because our parents trained us up in the way we should have gone.
Oh,
we
should have
gone. We're getting
because our parents taught us the laws of God, the ways of God. And they're perfect.
That's right.
They're not perfect.
How old is a child?
A child?
Until you're a teenager.
You're a kid.
And then when you're 16.
Until you're a child.
Okay. Listen. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So what's a parent's job?
To train a child.
How? How should a child go?
In the ways of the Lord.
How many ways are there to go?
Four.
What are they? What are the four ways?
Knowing God,
serving yourself, and serving God.
Which one is?
Knowing God.
Okay. All right. Apart from our holy calling to build the kingdom of God, did you know that you were told to do that? To build the kingdom of God? That is making disciples and maturing disciples. Did you know you were to do that? To witness to other kids your age and to help them to grow? Get them born again and then help them to grow up. Apart from that, that's the highest calling you have. This is the second. Few jobs on earth are as important and demanding as child raising. Now most of you, unless the Lord comes back soon, and I think He's going to come back soon, but most of you might get married someday and have children. And you better know how to raise them. Now, the first way you learn how is by watching how your parents raised you. Do you think your parents did a good job, Matt? Do you think your parents did a good job?
Yes, sir.
What was the secret of their success?
Jesus, the Lord.
Did they teach you Jesus at an early age?
Yes. I'm not bragging that.
Okay. John, did your parents do a good job? What was the secret of their success? Teaching you about the Lord? Okay. How would you raise your children?
I would start
What would you teach them?
Everything that
God's love.
God's love? Okay. What else? God's kindness. All right. God's word. God's what? I didn't hear. That Jesus is His Son. Okay.
And they died. And rose.
Do you think Christians are good people?
Yes.
Do you know any that aren't?
Mm-hmm. No. Yes.
Christians are nice.
Just because you go to church, does that make you a Christian?
No. No.
What makes you a Christian?
No God.
Accepting Christ into your heart.
To have a relationship.
To have a relationship? It's good. Good. Okay. Many parents no longer take this very seriously. But one day, every mother and father will be called to give a full account. Did you know that God is going to ask the parents, as they stand before Him, how they did? They're going to have to answer for all that they did. Did you know that? All right. Far from being a light thing, God holds the care of children in the highest regard. A child must be trained in godliness from the very first days. Did you know that before a child is born, you can pray and you can begin to witness to that child and you can affect the child? Did you know that? And did you know that if a child is raised in anxiety or with a lot of problems and troubles, that can affect the child too? Did you know that?
Oh, because if you get angry and everything, the kid feels it.
That's right. That's right. That's correct. But before you have children, from the very start, you begin praying and you begin reading the Word. Did you know that if you would read the Word to your child, even before he comes out of the womb, did you know that they begin to understand and retain that? Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. I saw my movie
on TV. It's a very powerful thing. So from the very beginning, we should, you remember that John the Baptist, before he was born, his mother saw Mary and the babe leaped in her womb for joy? Now how could that little boy do that?
Yes, Lord.
Did you see those that abort children? Can you see how they say they're not really children until they're born? Can you see how that's not true? Because both Jesus and John the Baptist were already people, weren't they? They were not only people, but they already had names. Did you know that they had names? And they also, excuse me, they knew whether they were boys or girls. Did you know that that was revealed to them? Did you know that? That Zechariah knew that his wife was going to have a son. Now Robert is going to have a baby in a few days, maybe tonight. Robert and Janet.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't know what it is. They don't know if it's going to be a boy or a girl. But you know that God can tell you?
It's a boy.
It's a girl.
It's a boy. It's a girl.
And He also can give a name. And He had given a name to both Jesus and John. And the babe was enough of a personality already that little baby leapt in her womb and rejoiced. The baby even knew what joy was. Isn't that interesting? So those that abort children and say, well, they're not really children, or that experiment with children, put them in petri dishes. You know what a petri dish is?
Uh-huh.
It's a little shallow dish, right. And they try different dyes on them and different things, and then when they're no good, they just throw them in the garbage, like that.
Baby?
Mm-hmm. To try to find out how to improve the human race and so on. I want to tell you that child raising is a very difficult thing. It's something that demands to understand what the Bible teaches concerning it. Do you know all the Bible teaching? I want to start you out tonight. So, number one is Proverbs 22:6. You've written that down. Number two, most parents are negligent in this matter and do not attend to the charge with serious intent. So hear what God says to those who disregard the training of these little ones. Because God gives a warning. So put that down. Number two, God warns. God warns against negligence. Or just put down bad.
How do you feel bad?
Neglect. You know what? Neglect, it means neglecting this job. Disobedience. He warns against disobedience in this. Okay? He wants his parents to lead their children to Jesus. Did you know that you can't just birth them? Just because you're a Christian, they aren't a Christian, are they? Just because they're born in your house doesn't make them Christians. I know Kara led Kirsten to the Lord, right? So just because Kirsten was born in the family didn't mean she was a Christian automatically, but Kara led her to the Lord. She said, do you know Jesus Christ? Would you know how to lead?
Middle one.
Right. Right. This is the second one. Would you know how to lead someone to Jesus Christ?
Sure.
Good. Because this is what the parents have to bring their children to the Lord Jesus, don't they? They have to lead them to Jesus Christ, to accept Him as their personal Savior. All right, now listen to this. Jesus becomes indignant with those who would prevent their children from receiving training and blessing. Here's a scripture. And they were bringing children to Jesus that He might touch them. But the disciples rebuked the mothers. But when Jesus saw it, He was indignant. And He said to them, let the little children come to Me and don't hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. And He took them in His arms and blessed them, laying His hands upon them. Mark 10:13. Write that down. Number three, Mark 10:13. Now, what was Jesus' attitude toward children?
Loving.
Why didn't He say, oh, kids are nothing?
Because He was God.
That's right. Why wasn't Jesus born as a man? Why was He born as a baby?
Because no one's born as a man.
I'm not sure Adam was. Adam was. Because He was the perfect man. He was an example of the perfect man, wasn't He? And the way He grew and developed is the way for all of us to grow and develop, isn't it? That gives us an example. John, go ahead. What?
We couldn't be like Adam, so He had.
That's right. We had sin in our lives. How many know that children are born with sin?
They're born in sin.
Uh-huh. Did you know that? That's what the Bible says, isn't it? Now, when you look at a little baby, they don't look that way, do they?
No.
They look sweet, don't they? Now, a few of them are ugly, but most of them are sweet, aren't they? Did you know that some babies are ugly? Have you ever seen a brand new baby?
I was ugly.
Were you ugly?
I was pink. I look like a mouse.
No, I look like a Mexican. My mom thought I was a mixed up, you know? I'm serious. She said after she took me home, and now she knows for sure I'm her. She said she told her mom that.
Praise the Lord. But all babies are born, they're very unique, aren't they? You know, every one of you is unique. You know, there'll never be another person like you. There'll never be another person like you. And God sent His Son, Jesus, to die for each one of you. You know, some people don't like the nose they have, the ears they have, the forehead they have. But I want you to know something. God created each one of you. And He's not bothered by your bodily features. You know why? You know why? Because He made us. But also in the world to come, you're going to receive a new body. Right? So you don't have to worry about defects. Don't have to worry about, you know, whether your nose is too large or your ears stick out too far or you have too many freckles or anything like this that people worry about. Because every one of you is unique. I want you to like your nose, okay? I want you to like your teeth and your tongue. You know why? No, do you know why?
Because God made us.
That's right.
And if we don't like something that God made, then we're saying we don't like God.
That's right.
We are.
No, we don't want to God.
You say
God,
you hate God. Somebody, then you hate God.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. Okay, that's good. All right, let's read on now. Now, Jesus' attitude toward children was to take them up in his arms and bless them, and he laid his hands upon them. Number two, how do you train a child up and lead them in the right way?
Four.
How? No, don't write this down. Just write down the answer. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. This is how. Write down how to. How to.
Ephesians what?
Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Let's turn to that. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. There's a lot of scriptures. These are really beautiful scriptures, and this will help you when you become a parent. All right. Okay, someone read verse 1.
Jennifer.
Someone read. Jennifer.
Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
What's right?
To obey your parents.
Does it say to obey them if they're nice to you?
No, we just
obey them.
Just obey them.
Okay. Okay. So little children don't have to judge their parents, do they?
No, sir.
They just obey them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the correct thing to do. This is right. Number two, read that, Byron.
I don't have a Bible.
Okay, borrow one.
Honor that father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise.
What does that mean?
Obey them. Obey your father and mother.
Don't talk bad. Is that how to honor them? What if you obey them and you do it like this? Okay, I'll do the dishes. Is that honoring them? Is that honoring them?
No, because you're saying you don't want to do it.
Okay, so obedience is not just obeying, is it? What is obedience? Is it just outwardly doing what they say, or is it having a good attitude on the inside?
Willingly.
Willingly and joyfully and quickly. And according to the Spirit, and not just the letter of the law.
What is the most stupid?
Huh?
What is the most stupid?
What does it say in verse 1? What if it's... Okay, it's a good question. What if it's something they ask you to do and you know it's stupid? What does it say in verse 1 to do? Obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right.
We have a 6 weeks test at school or something, not just to have homework on Wednesday. But I thought you were going to have an English test the next day. She's the teacher, and she goes, no, you're not going to have an English test next month. She goes, no, you're not going to stay. You're not going to have an English test. I said, okay, Mom, fine. I still think you're going to have one. She kept telling me we weren't going to have one. But they have the school for the test.
Okay.
And she told you got a look at something.
No. It was still right to obey your parents. Okay, that's all right, but it was still right to obey your mother. Now, the Lord will deal with her then. It's not your job to deal with her, it's the Lord. And you see, the next time when you say, I have to study, she'll probably call up or find out, won't she? She won't repeat that again. But that's between her and God. See, that's none of your, it's not your worry. That's not your problem. You did right to obey. Okay? What's the most important thing in life? Passing a test or honoring your mother and father?
Honoring your mother and father.
It's not so important that you get straight A's. Did you know that if you failed a course, you don't necessarily have to fail life? You know, it's more important to succeed in life than it is to succeed in grades. Did you know that? In other words, what kind of a person are you? I'm more interested that my children have good character than I am that they have good grades. Do you understand that? Yeah, you can have both, and usually children with good character will have good grades. But I'm more important that they're obedient to their teacher. It's more important that they tell the truth. It's more important not how they do. It's more important who they are. Do you understand that? Can you see that? A parent doesn't want just the children to obey. They want them to be godly. And that's what we want as parents. All right, let's read the next one. What does it say, which is the first commandment with a promise in verse 2? What's the promise? What's the promise? You'll learn this next week when you learn the Ten Commandments. What is the promise that if you obey your parents, you'll receive? That's correct. Matt has it. Not eternal life, but not everlasting life, but long life here.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Prosperity, health, long life. In other words, to disobey your parents is really to cut your life short. That's right. To obey your parents is really to ensure yourself a healthy, long, and prosperous life. Did you know that?
If you always obeyed your parents all your life, which I know someone can do that.
That's right.
If you did, would you live
for the world? That's good. That's a very good question. Next question.
Are people said that someone who died in their 30s or 20s didn't obey their parents?
No, you couldn't.
I really don't know what it means specifically. All I know is that the Bible says that, and I don't know specifically what it means, but I know that in general, as you're obedient, that you will live longer. I cannot say how long a person's going to live, or you know that you'll be over 80 or something like this. But I do know when you don't obey, we can see it's really obvious. This much I understand. When you don't obey your parents, many children are killed for it.
Really?
Yes, you could lose your life because your parents are out to save your life, aren't they?
Well, you could die because you're living in sin. And
that's correct.
And you do bad things, you get blown up and stuff.
All kinds of things can happen, right? So that's one obvious thing, is that they simply are out to help you keep alive, and they will tell you a lot of things that will help you live longer.
Yeah, but everybody disobeys their parents, you know.
Do they?
Okay.
Everybody but Jesus.
Right. But the question is not whether we disobey, but it's whether we stay in disobedience.
Yeah, but if you ask forgiveness, then it's over with. And God,
that's correct.
And if you say, you know, I really feel bad for whatever I did.
Right. But remember, disobedience is not the issue. We cleared that up before. What is it to honor? Is it just to obey? Mm-hmm. What is it to honor your parents? Is it just to obey them?
No.
It means to have the inner attitude as well as the outward performance, doesn't it? Right. And if you have a good attitude, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, your body's going to be healthy, you're just going to live longer. Your attitude's going to be good, it's going to be positive. Do you love your parents?
Yes, sir. Yes. I do.
Fixed up or as they are?
As they are.
Do they have to improve for you to love them?
Sure.
As they are.
Don't you want them to change?
No.
Yes.
No.
You do? Want them to change?
You
I want you to know that your parents are not perfect. How many have learned that? How many have learned that? How many have learned that your parents are not perfect? But they're the... But listen. But they're the perfect parents for you to grow up in every way to be like Jesus. You see? So your parents don't have to be perfect. They aren't perfect. They don't have to be. All they have to do is be parents. Obey them, but also honor them. No, you don't have to be perfect either. No, you can't be perfect either, can you?
I know, but people always feel like we have to be perfect. It's okay for them not to be.
Okay. That's should you obey people? Nice. Remember we said there's four ways to live life. One, serving other people. Should we try to obey other people? Or should we obey Jesus?
Well,
you said people put pressure on you to be perfect. Should you listen to what they say or what the Word of God says? Is that what the Bible says? Remember what we learned about the law? Remember what we learned about the law that you taught?
Yeah.
That the law tells you what the will of God is. The law exposes you as a sinner. Then the law forgives you because it drives you to Jesus. Then the law describes you, doesn't it? So that you're enabled to live a holy life. But you're not going to be perfect. That's why the law does all that. Matt?
If you have parents that are really bad and everything, you know, and they slap you around and stuff.
Yeah. That's a very good question. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No. What would be better? I mean, if you can't save them or nothing, would it be better just to move away from them?
No.
Get influenced by
them? No.
What if they're drags and the other ones are drags? No, I mean, my farm.
All right. What's? Listen very carefully. This is a very good question. What does the Bible say? Let's first of all find out what the Bible says. Does the Bible say children obey your parents when they're sober? Does it say that?
No, but
What could you do if your parents were drunk every night? What could you do?
Pray.
Do you believe that prayer is answered by God?
Yes.
Does God answer prayer?
Mm-hmm.
Have you learned that?
Maybe not always in the
Have you ever lost something and asked God to find it for you?
Yeah.
Has he? All right.
That's what happened to my sister.
No.
All right. Do you think that if you were a real good child, you could influence your parents to love you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No.
No, no, no.
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 No. The best thing to do is pray. Some children try to manipulate their parents by saying, I'm going to be real good and that'll make them love me. That'll make them like each other. But you cannot buy love, can you? You cannot buy love.
What about these kids that run away from home and go into the other... And people pick them up and give... Put them in the pound. The shelters and stuff.
Yeah.
Are they sinning? I mean, run away from their parents?
Sure they are. Sure they're in sin.
Even what when they beat them?
Well,
they can call child abuse.
What about prayer?
I know, but what, how could you pray when they're sitting there beating them?
If the kids didn't know about God, if the boy didn't know about God, would it be okay if he ran away?
No.
Well, we can't answer for someone who's not. But the point is, we wouldn't discuss whether they should. We wouldn't discuss whether it's right to run away. We'd want to save that person so they would know the Lord, so they could begin to witness and they could begin to pray, and find out that God can answer in these situations.
I guess the parents see their kids not doing nothing about it. I don't.
I'm going to tell you, a lot of young people who have sought the Lord Jesus have seen their parents get saved and turned around. Did you know that? Do you know of anyone like that? Have you ever seen that happen? Well, I have. It's happened right here in church. I've seen several. I think Christians, you know, he's begun to pray for his parents. See, what you kids are not learning then to pray and fast and take seriously that prayer will change the situation, even for someone else. Did you know you could pray for someone else's parents? Instead of deciding whether it's right or wrong what they've done, the main thing is to obey the word and get into prayer and try to change the situation from within. Do you think God will protect you in a bad situation? Do you think so? Now, if a parent were drinking and was demonic, that is, they had a demon get on them. Because sometimes alcohol brings demons, okay? And they were beating the child. It would not be wrong for them to try to move away, okay? But it would be wrong for them to run away. Yeah, whatever. Just get away. They can always call a relative or something like this. But do not run away.
What's the difference?
You can walk away.
Moving away.
Huh?
You don't go as far.
Could you walk?
Well, because if you run away, you're gonna then end up in the devil's situation. You're not gonna get help. Sure.
That would be running away, would it?
If a parent were demonic, if they were, you know, beside themselves, you know, with rage. It's obvious, you know, anyone who's in that situation is going to know what to do. So only someone who thought they couldn't leave, I'm just going to tell you right now, you could leave in a situation like that. But don't run away. You've run away? How long did you go?
How far?
How long? Yeah, how long did you stay?
2 minutes, I started crying.
That's good. What age were you?
About 7.
Okay.
When I was 3, I ran away next door.
Okay.
You
have run away?
I take all my clothes off except this.
And he walked down, we still in the apartment, and he walked all the way down the corridor, downstairs, and just standing there.
Okay. Now, what does the Word of God say? Is it right to run away?
No.
No. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it also says, honor your father and mother that you may live long. That's what we're talking about, living long. That good life comes from obedience. And even if you're in a tough situation, God has an answer. God has an answer. Remember Moses when he was at the Red Sea and he didn't know what the answer was? Where did he turn? Who did he turn to?
God.
God. Did God help him?
Yes.
Will God always help you?
Yes.
Yes. Now, we don't have answers for every situation, but God does. You see? God knows the answer. Can you see that, Melissa? Can you see that's what to do? Okay. Let's go on now. Read the next verse. Verse 3. Matt, verse 3. 6:3.
Okay. There may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth.
Okay. Verse 4, Melissa.
Here.
Listen very carefully. All right. What does that say to fathers? Now this is to Matt and Byron, John, Ray, and Clay. What does it say now? What is a father's job?
What's wrath?
Bring in the
All right. What is wrath? That's what we were just talking about. I said, get in here! See, that's wrath. You see? That's wrath, isn't it? Now, what would that do? What would that do to a child? What would that do to a child? It would frighten you, wouldn't it? That would put fear into you. So it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. That is, keep pushing them until the children get angry and mad. You see what I'm saying? You understand?
Huh?
You know what? If they did that consistently, that would provoke you to wrath.
Yeah. And I heard about this little baby, and his dad got really mad. It was a baby that's just like one, and his dad got real mad because he kept crying. He went and got him out of bed and shook him to death.
Mm-hmm. Right. That can happen. That can happen. Sometimes people get very frustrated. What's the answer? To know the Lord. See, you think right now, you think you're going to be a good parent. But I'm going to tell you something right now. It's a very difficult job without Jesus. It can hardly be done without Jesus. You need the Lord Jesus to do it. It takes a lot of wisdom. Now, what's a father to do? What does it say right here? Two things. Two things. To train up the children in what? What ways? Well, no, what does it say right here? Bring them up in the... Two things. No. What does it say? Nurture. All right. Now look. This is the two things for a father, Matt. I want you to memorize this. You are to nurture the children. That is, you are to instruct them in the ways of God. You're also to use the rod. How many know what the rod is? What's the rod? No.
A whip.
No.
Wisdom.
The rod.
Instruction.
What's a rod?
An instrument that you strike your child with.
What is a rod?
That's a hickory instrument.
What does the rod do? What is
it? It brings pain.
The rod is the only way that you can teach a child wisdom. Did you know that?
A rod takes much better.
Do you know that if your parents don't love you, if they don't love you, they won't try to.
That's correct. We're going to read this in a little bit. But
I don't think that's necessarily true.
Well, that's what the Bible says. So you're going to learn that that's necessarily true. That's, see, what you're afraid right now, aren't you?
Yeah, you're afraid.
You're afraid because you think that it's going to hurt the child, right?
Yeah.
What's going to happen to the child? The child that's spanked. The child that's spanked. What's going to happen to that child? Then why wouldn't you do it if God said to do it? Ileana, be quiet. What's going to happen to that child? When you spank a child, what's going to happen? Is that wrong? Be quiet. Myron, be quiet. What's going to happen to the child?
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that maybe the kid never does anything wrong. And if you don't spank him, that doesn't mean you don't love him.
A child that never does anything wrong.
Well, you can't. I mean, this girl was married. I mean, she wasn't a Christian, but she never liked to do anything wrong. She felt bad. She had like a conviction.
Uh-huh.
She did something bad, so she would never do anything bad.
Okay, well, if they don't do anything bad, don't spank them. You don't want to just spank them just to spank them.
Well, I mean, if they're good, then you don't spank them, but everybody has to do it one time. I mean, there's not, I mean, if a person that gets spanked, that doesn't mean they're perfect.
Quiet, don't comment. I want to listen.
Because if your parents care about you, they'll want to train, they'll want you to, they'll care about that when you grow up, what you're going to be like, and they'll spank you.
Do you think God made a mistake, Melissa? Do you think God made a mistake? When it says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the fear and instruction of the Lord. Now this means to use the rod. This means to instruct them and to discipline them and to use the rod to reinforce that. A lot of times people play games with children, but if you raise them up in a godly way, they will sooner or later disobey and need the rod. Now, this is what God says. So it's wisdom on God's part. It says that a child cannot learn wisdom except through the rod. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
How many here have never been spanked?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. How many here have never been spanked more than once?
14.
Yeah. Praise God. That's good. Okay, I won't ask anymore. You've at least been spanked twice. When my father used to spank me, he used to take me down in the basement. He used to take off his strap, a belt.
Ooh.
And he used to say, now Jim, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Now wait a minute. Was my father right or was he wrong?
He was wrong.
He was wrong.
It hurts the child.
My dad
physically said, mentally.
Do you know that it's difficult to discipline children? Do you know that it does hurt to discipline them? You know that it's hard to spank little children? It really is. But you will learn, like with let's say a little baby sitting at their high chair. Not real little, but you know, maybe three and a half, you know. And you say, now eat that. Flick it off onto the floor, you know, and you put it back up and you say, now I want you to eat that. Right. And they'll do that and they'll test you to see whether you're going to back up your word. And sometimes then you have to indicate to them that your word, you mean it. Because if you don't do that, the child doesn't take your word seriously. They don't believe God's word's worth anything either.
It's just like if you tell your child, now, when you get home, you're going to get in trouble. And then when you get home, they don't, and they just have to go lucky.
Yeah.
You have to, and then they'll think, well, the next time she says that, she doesn't mean it, so they'll keep doing it wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
She's not going to do it.
Clay?
What if you're really angry? Should you discipline your kids if you're really angry?
You should wait.
No.
If you want to discipline, right. Should you wait?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you discipline out of anger, for example, this is the way many, many parents do it. The little child does something wrong, and they don't say anything. They say, now stop that. And then they keep doing wrong. I said, stop that. And they keep saying something wrong. And they keep kind of building up, and they won't do anything. And now you've done wrong as a parent, right there. Because when you give your word like that, now you stop that, pretty soon you're going to get angry. And then all of a sudden, it may be an hour later, and they do some little thing. And they're like, this gets all raged. And they run in there and get in here and they take them and just start to hit them or something like this. This is not discipline. This is not the rod. I'm going to show you exactly how to use the rod, because I want you to learn, because this is where most children are not taught correctly. Okay? Let's read on. Okay, parents are to teach their children to be obedient. Children must also be taught to give honor to their parents. They must not be disrespectful in any way. What if a child, after you tell them to do something, they go like this with their eyes? Is that disrespectful? That is dishonoring, and that is an abomination to God. Now watch, watch. Just to do that, if your parents tell you to do something, what should be your face look like? No. Now that would not be correct. What should your face be like? Right. You should have a face like that. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Now, we tell our children you cannot go like this. Okay. No, you can't do it that way. Or you can't have any other face than one like this. Yes, sir. You can't say, all right. Right. But we want them to answer why. Because it's just the devil that's going to get you to do all those other things. So we want you to have a happy, obedient, positive attitude. You understand that? We're talking about behavior here now. Can you expect that of your children? How many think you can? How many think you can expect your children not to go like this? You know, when they turn around, go and stall it like that. How many know that that is disobedient and that you can expect your children to do respectfully? Do you know that you can expect that from your children? Mm-hmm. I want to tell you right now, you can. We expect that from our children. We don't let them pout or poke the other one or anything like that. When we tell them something, that's it. And we want them to have a good attitude, outward obedience and inner attitude. All right? They must not be disrespectful in any way. God has charged parents to render discipline and instruction in the ways of godliness. So you should tell your children what to do, and you should show them. Now, before our children went to school, we put out a chair. We put a chair like this, and we said, you know, now you sit down, and I want you to put your hands like this. And we showed them how to sit with their legs straight, not like this, you know. Just sit with your legs like this and your hands like this and look straight at the teacher. And now the children are going to come and they're going to make fun and so on, and you are not to do it. And the little children always say yes. They won't do it because they're little children. We're teaching them this. But then I say, what if I were going to go like this? You know, and try to distract you. What are you going to do? I'm going to look at the teacher. And so we train them so they know how not to listen. And we did that to you, didn't we, Carl? And you know that, right, but it's not because of that. It's not because she's smart. It's because she has been obedient. It's because she's been obedient. Yeah, she's smart because she was obedient. You see, that's smart, is to obey the teacher. And she did not look when the other children distracted. At least she didn't tell us that she did. She did.
Well, I can beat that swan so bad.
Well, that's all right. What I'm trying to tell you is, raise your children by teaching them, showing them, and then disciplining them. This is the way to do it. So when you have children, it takes a lot of time to teach them and train them. Don't just say, "Go and make your bed." No, go in and show them how to fold the sheet down. Show them how to do the blanket. John, do you make your bed neatly?
Yeah, I didn't today, though.
Oh, praise the Lord.
I did.
How many here know how to make a nice bed?
Oh, I can't make a bed, but I can put the sheets on. Really,
how many's room is a mess?
Thanks, my brother.
Okay. What?
Susan, they
if you have a messy room and you never make your bed, that you're going to study.
That's the way you're
running. But you can't get as close to God or something like that. But you can't get as close.
Well, that's not true. I just want to say right now, God wants you to be neat and so on, but that is not going to keep you from knowing God. Okay? But there is a truth there that we should be neat and so on and so forth. And when you're stepping over stuff all the time and always that is a form of rebellion, laziness, and disrespect. Well,
I just have to overcome such things that I know all about your
sweet children. I know.
It's about
Okay. Okay. Well, sometimes people are under pressure. Listen, you know what you're saying. There's a truth to that. Sometimes people are under pressure, and I would definitely say it's possible. But I would also say you can ask Jesus about that. Say, Jesus, you know, do I have enough time to do this and so on and so forth? You might have to get up a little early and so on, but you know, don't worry about it. Don't get under a lot of guilt, Melissa. Good. Well, don't get under a lot of guilt, but do ask Jesus. Ask him, Lord, can I do this and that too? And he'll tell you. Okay, the next one. Listen. The word discipline has the meaning of training, educating, and chastisement. What does it mean to chastise?
Kill.
No.
Beat.
No, not beat. The Bible doesn't say beat. Okay. Correction, right. Forming the child in the way of godly living. The word instruction has the meaning of teaching the children by way of warnings and admonitions. Developing a godly fear. So put that down, number five.
Six.
What's
number five?
Five, whatever your next number is. Godly fear. Teach children to have a godly fear. They should have the fear of the Lord. Now, my father taught me fear. I knew that when he said something, he meant it. He never said something that he didn't follow through on. So I knew that if he said, do something, I better do it.
Yeah, you better.
Or you'd have it.
Because he wouldn't talk to me. He wouldn't have a nice discussion. He'd just take me downstairs and spank me. We didn't have any discussions, big long discussions. When little children say, why do I have to go to bed? You don't explain why. You just say, go to bed. If they don't obey, you go and spank them. Hello? Now listen to me. That's right. You say, go to bed. Look, after you do that once or twice, you will find children won't ask a lot of questions. And if you teach it to them very early when they dump the bowl on the floor, if you teach them to them early, you don't have to do it again. We taught Kara very early, and we don't have to keep spanking her. Every once in a while, we spank her, but not too often. Okay? How many still get spankings, by the way?
I haven't gotten one in a couple of years.
All right, you need one.
Oh, I don't.
You don't?
I haven't been bad lately.
You haven't been. No, I've been saying a couple of years.
I've been bad.
Okay. I'm just saying until you leave home, until you're 18, you are still eligible. Do not say, I'm bigger than my parents, I don't need a spanking. God, listen to me now. Listen to me. I'm talking to you about being a child, but I'm also talking about being a parent someday. God has commanded the parent to do this. Therefore, you can't say, well, I'm 16, I'm too big to get a spanking. You are not. As long as you're under the roof, you're still eligible. Okay? And when you're disobedient or belligerent or think you know more than your parents, you should be spanked again. Okay? Okay. Praise God. All right. Developing a godly fear and the ability to judge between good and evil. You see, a spanking is very helpful because it tells us the difference between good and evil. That's what spankings help to do. They give wisdom. Does the Bible include the idea that parents must instruct their children in the Bible? Should a father, how do you instruct a child? Does instruction mean reading the Bible to your children? Now, who's supposed to read the Bible, the father or the mother? The father. Did you know this is a father's job? He has primarily the responsibility for it, and God's not going to ask the mother. He's going to ask the father. Did you see to it that your children read the Word of God? Did you see to it that they read the stories? Did you tell them the stories? Did you talk about the Scriptures? And so this is primarily the husband or the father's responsibility to take care of this. If there is no husband or father, then the mother can do it. Does this training include the idea that parents must instruct their children? Yes. This is not the charge of the church or the Sunday school, but it belongs primarily with the parents, and there is no substitute for home Bible teaching. How many have had Bible instruction in the home? From the parents. That the parents have read the Scripture. No, not every night.
Almost every night they read the Bible.
Okay.
Every morning in the school year.
All right.
Every night they can remember.
This is good. Now, it doesn't have to be necessarily every day, but there ought to be regular Bible reading training.
At Christmas day.
And especially this is the father's job. If there's not a father, then it's the mother's job.
Father read it that night?
Sure.
I mean,
you know, sure. Right. It's just that sometimes parents can answer some questions for you. You have to go? Okay. We're going to have to close this anyway,
bye,
right
Susan.
Now.
Bye, Susan.
Bye, Clayton.
See you later.
Bye.
Have a nice weekend.
Bye, John. It's nice meeting you. Okay. We're going to close now. We'll pick this up next week. We'll do this again next week because I want you to learn how to raise your children.
I'm going to be a bachelor.
Okay.
What if we don't know?
Then it's, it won't hurt you to learn.
No school on that path.
Me too. I don't think that's true if we don't get to live long enough as kids.
Would you like to live that long?
I do.
Okay.
Not with nuclear
Matt?
War.
Shh. Listen, I can't hear Matt.
Did God say in the Bible that it's not good to not be married? And is it a sin not to get married?
No, no, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. He said that he was talking to Adam. He says, not good that man should be alone, but he did not mean you could not be single. Some people are called to be single. That is, they're not to be married.
That's why I made dogs.
That's why I made women.
Now, shh, but wait a minute. I want you to understand this. I want you to think about both sides. You cannot know whether you're to be married or not. There's only one way you can know, and that's to ask God. If you're to remain single, God will let you know. And ask Him. Don't say, well, I want to get married. So ask God. On the other hand, it is God's normal way. It is God's normal way to be married. So that's not unusual. That is His usual way. But many of you are going to be called, perhaps, to be single.
Good.
And you can ask that. You don't know at this age. At this age of your life, you don't really know. But you can begin forming. You need to pray to God. If I'm to be married, then pick out a godly wife. Pick out a godly husband for me. I want to marry the right person. And the right person means the one that God brings to you. Not the one that's good looking. Not the one that's rich. Not the one that's handsome. Not the one that's this. Not the one that's that. But the one that God chooses for you.
I went down to Houston to this revival thing for a week from our school. And our pastor at the Southern Church, he preached on not, we will not date dogs. And it's about girls that live in sin and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He said, don't date them because they're
right.
Same thing about
yeah,
dogs.
Yeah, don't date dogs.
Right. Well, at any rate, only God can tell you about that. Like, look that, see that magazine right there?
It's not a purse.
Is that a purse?
It's a purse.
That's cute. Right. Shh, listen, a lot of times those magazines try to stimulate you to be a certain way. I want you to know this is the book. This is the book that you girls need to read. For everything. Cosmetics, dressing, dating, everything. It's in this book. I want you guys to know that too. This is the book. I want you to read the book. Now, I asked you two guys if you were going to read every day. Did you get to do it?
I got
busted. Good. Ray? Praise God. Okay. What's your assignment for next week?
Memorize 11:14.
All right. Memorize Proverbs 11:14. Memorize the Ten Commandments. I want you to know the Ten Commandments.
That's not
good.
That's
no. That's
no. No.
That's
no. No. No, it isn't. That's it. All right. I want them in order, and I'm going to have you write them down on a piece of paper. As soon as you come in next week, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to have a test on the Ten Commandments. I want you to, don't put this off. Start reading them tonight. Open your Bible right now. Open your Bible to Exodus 20. When you go home, Melissa and Byron, open your Bible and start reading Exodus 20 and read it every night. And by the time you're ready for it, you'll be able to know it. Yeah.
I'm going to have enough time. All during the day, I'm doing my homework till 11 o'clock. And then I do all the stuff.
Okay.
And I do all the stuff, and then at night I work out for about 2 hours.
Right. Well, you're going to have to take out 5 minutes from the workout.
You can read your Bible.
Listen, you're going to take 5 minutes off from your workout and read it every night. You can do it. Just before you work out, you stop. Huh? You can take it with you. Sometimes you have to rest. You take it within, read it at that time. Okay? There's a way. This is an assignment.
I'm trying to put it off.
Good. Okay. Very good. Okay.
What are we supposed to memorize?
Okay, memorize Proverbs 11, verse 14, and the Ten Commandments. Okay, you all have that assignment? Okay. I'm going to ask Tammy to pray. Shh. Okay.
Amen.
Now, wait a minute. Stop. These things I've been teaching tonight, go home and talk them over with your parents. And look in the Bible. I gave you some scriptures. You can look in the Bible and see what things are true and what things are not true. Okay? God bless you all. I love you.